Welcome to The Business Mind. Join me, Mark Fechner, as I sit down with business leaders to discuss their real-world challenges and formulate forward-thinking, creative solutions. We focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. The Business Mind Show starts now. Good morning, everyone. I am Mark Fechner, and welcome to The Business Mind here on Transformation Talk Radio, the show that features the guest's pursuit of excellence through the process of one-on-one coaching. If you would like to be part of our conversation, I would welcome your comments in the comment section on the TransformationTalkRadio.com website, or if you would prefer, the Facebook.com/ Transformation Talk Radio, please. I'd love to hear from you. So today we're going to talk about upscaling a business. And upscaling a business is something that every business owner needs to do and needs to think about. But it's a particularly important to have an understanding of it if you are a solopreneur. Because solopreneurs are the only person in their business. They're the ones that are generating the revenues and handling the clients and stuff like that. And at a certain point, upscaling a business becomes a fight between getting more money for your work and sacrificing more time to achieve it. And so today we're going to have that conversation. My guest is, she started out as an athlete. And in that process, she probably had more injuries than normal, in her early athletic career. But that has inspired her to start her own personal training business. And in that process, she now works with clients on not just, you know, exercise, but also basic movement and strength and balance issues that clients come to her with. She is the founder of Spark Synergy Fitness here in the Chicagoland area. Please welcome Kirsten Anderson.
Good morning. Thank you for the introduction, Mark.
Good morning, Kirsten. How are you?
I'm doing delightful today.
Delightful. I'm glad to hear that.
And I'm happy to be here.
Given my introduction, please tell us a little bit about your business. Give us more information, more detail.
Sure. As Mark mentioned, I was a chronically injured athlete growing up. I didn't even realize how severe some of those injuries were until I was in college. And I was diagnosed at the tender age of 20 with severe arthritis in both of my knees. That's not something that you normally find in a 20-year-old body. And modern medicine at the time failed me. They said, "Oh, there's nothing that we can do. Go home and take painkiller." And I didn't accept that as a solution. And so sort of a healer, heal thyself situation. So in my pursuit of learning why my body was behaving this way, I went into a personal training certification program and learned essentially that I had been moving in unhealthy and incorrect patterns, and that had exacerbated these issues. And so through the process of learning how to correct those issues in myself, I also have a theater degree, so I'm relatively good at communication and creative imagery. And so taking some of these concepts that, you know, if you see a physical therapist, they're able to be like, "Oh, yes, this muscle and this joint and this particular like thing that the joint or that the muscle or the tendon attaches to," I speak in a little broader terms, you know, kind of layman's terms, if you will, in order to help people connect with their bodies, connect to healthier movement patterns, and really understand what their bodies should be doing in space so that they can be strong, stable, reduce pain, reduce injury, and go on to lead really movement healthy and movement conscious lives.
Very cool. I also wanted to point out that, and I've seen some of these videos, you're also very much into stunt work. through with your theater background, which also takes on that physical attribute of your business as well.
Very much. And the link for those two is really about physical storytelling. Obviously, for stunt performance, you know, I'm using my body to help tell a story. And often that story for a stunt performer involves violence. My first episode of Chicago PD, I got carjacked and I got thrown into the street a whole bunch of times. So that was a fun time. and I, you know,
I'm picturing you and I'm just picturing, okay, here, let's throw this woman into the car.
Yeah. It's like, well, no, not thrown into the car, thrown out of the car and into the middle of the street.
So sorry.
It's okay. I must have done that fall and roll like, I don't know, 12 times. It was a great day, honestly. I had a blast. Not your average day at work, but it's really fun being able to connect those dots of the performance and the body awareness and building on foundational skills so that I can do something like that 12 times and not get injured. You know?
Yeah. I particularly like the video you shared with me privately of you on fire. That was, you know, that was like, wow. And boy, that's alarming. I'm just saying. So to get on with our discussion, what is it that you would like to discuss today?
So my biggest issue as far as upscaling goes is that my clients love me, which is great. It's a great problem to have. My clients love me. And so when I find someone who's a good fit for my coaching style and they appreciate the education, they appreciate the guidance and the companionship and all that goes into that. You know, I've had some clients that I've been working with now for upwards of 6 years. Which is delightful. I love these human beings. But there's a certain point at which I want to stop trading my hour by hour by hour for money and be able to create a larger program, or really I want to be able to help more people and free up some of my time. I think that's really the kicker. Is that right now, because I'm working primarily one-on-one or in small groups, my ability to reach people is really limited by the number of hours in the day or the amount of energy that I have. And so that's currently my dilemma.
Figuring out. You and I have been working for a few months. So, you know, free disclosure here. Kirsten and I have been, she's been my client for a number of months now. And we've been talking about your creating this video program stuff. Mm-hmm. So what's still the challenge in creating those videos and submitting that to a client?
I'm recognizing that not all of my current clients are interested in that a little bit more hands-off approach where I'm creating programming. You know, they, especially the clients who've been working with me for a while now, they know what their bodies are supposed to be doing in space. I'm not worried about them injuring themselves. And I would love for them to be able to have a little bit more self-accountability and essentially maybe meet them once a week and then hand off a homework program and, you know, have them stick to it. And that stick-to-itiveness is really one of the hurdles. And it might be because I'm too nice and I've been, you know, like I remember, earlier in my career when I wasn't even working for myself yet, and I would give people a little bit of homework, and then I would see them again and I was like, hey, did you do your homework? And they would go, No, you know, they feel like, oh no, I really messed up. Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself. I should have done it. I know I should have done it. Now I'm internally beating myself up. And right. And the empathic me, the me that doesn't like seeing people beating themselves, I would go, oh, it's okay. It's okay. And that wasn't helpful for them. And that wasn't terribly helpful for me either,
right,
to help them get the results that they wanted. And so now I'm in the point of trying to break that cycle and maybe become a little bit more of a bad cop, or maybe not even, maybe I don't even have to be a bad cop. That might not be the way to phrase it, but how can I help? How can I create a system to help people be more accountable to themselves and also to me, you know, so that they don't feel like they're just doing it on their own, that they still feel like I'm involved, in their movement and very invested in their progress and, you know, all that and a bag of rice. I don't know.
Right. 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 Exactly. Yeah. And it's, it sounds like to me that the empathy part is wonderful and is a great advantage, especially with what you do. But it also sounds like it's kind of getting in the way.
To a certain degree, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And I think part of it is, you know, because as I'm creating this kind of video archive of exercises and demonstrations and, you know, I've mentioned I'm a real stickler for healthy movement. So I want my clients to understand what goes into doing an exercise like a row or like a push-up so that they're not hurting their shoulders and that they understand what those body mechanics are.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I feel like my superpower is that kind of educational translation when I'm mm-hmm. with a person, my struggle with the videos is knowing like, what are the cues that are going to be the most effective? How concise do I have to be in order to share that same nugget of educational information and still have it resonate?
Right. Okay. This is a good time to take a quick break. So for our listeners, you are listening to The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner. Remember, if you are interested in making comments, I would love to see and hear from you on the Facebook page or transformationtalkradio.com. We are going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and go into a more detailed discussion on this. So please stay tuned.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you living life in full expression? Join me, Beth Wolf, on Life in Full Expression each Monday at noon Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn how to explore, elevate, expand, and live your best life. Discover the seven dimensions of life blueprint of expression. Get ready to fully express, develop your limitless capacity, and experience amazement to become an igniter and inspire. Visit BethWolf.com to discover the dynamic coaching of life in full expression.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Welcome back. This is The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner, and my guest today is Kirsten Anderson of Spark Synergy Fitness. And we're talking about the sales funnel and the sales funnel process, and how she can go about upscaling her business. Before we go any further, Kirsten, how can people get a hold of you?
Best way is currently through my email address. I'm actually not on social media because I needed a break for my mental health. I hope that everyone else is able to mediate that how they see fit. But email is the best way to get a hold of me. My email is k.anderson, S-E-N, .synergy@gmail.com. And I'm sure it's in the program notes.
It is in the program notes, yes. So during the break, we kind of talked about the sales funnel. And I want to ask you, so for you, what is the biggest challenge in creating, how do I want to say this, mitigating your, you know, your client's need to have access to you? What's the biggest challenge in trying to wean your clients back, you know, away from always having to work with you?
I think, in terms of, you know, thinking about the sales funnel, I think just because of the nature of my business, like, you know, we're at the top of the sales funnel, there's the freebies and then maybe a small group and then maybe a, like an evergreen or a subscription. And then, right, as you get narrower and narrower and deeper into the funnel, it becomes that the one-on-one, which is kind of like the ultimate cherry, except for my business, that's where people start. Mm-hmm. And so having that access, I haven't had to build out the other levels or layers of that funnel. So I'm in the process of trying to build some of those programs so that I can possibly work with smaller groups or create a subscription program. One of the biggest challenges is, quite frankly, having the time to do that, because so many of my hours are spent one-on-one with clients. Mm-hmm. And so making that transition and being able to, like, have the time to create the programming to sort of funnel them into is one of my challenges.
Okay. I know from our work outside of this conversation that you've achieved that. You have gotten material together and you have shared it with clients. What's been the response like?
The response on the whole, because I do have two clients right now who are doing a remote coaching option, which is where I'm a little bit more of a general versus an accountability buddy. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm finding is that the people who are fitting into that program better, where, you know, we have a coaching session once a month to really check in and make sure that the work that we're doing is on track with the goals that we've stated and, you know, reframing kind of what we're focusing on. Mm-hmm. But what I'm finding is that the people who are really successful there already come in with a certain self-reliance and or already have more exercise know-how. And so one of my clients in particular is just running with it. Like I've given her monthly program. It's customized for her goals. Whenever she has questions, we touch base. But really, she's just been incredibly self-sufficient. And so the struggle that I'm having is, how do I take these people who don't necessarily have the confidence? Because a lot of the clients that I work with, they didn't grow up feeling athletic. They didn't grow up having confidence in their bodies. Many of them actually have a lot of fear in their bodies, either that they're going to fall or that they're going to hurt themselves, or, you know, and especially because I work with like middle-aged and senior people, especially that confidence about not getting injured is a really big deal. So yeah. How do I take those people and instill that confidence, which comes over time and comes with repetition and, you know, success that we celebrate. And then how do I transition them to become more mm-hmm. self-reliant, and then that they don't, you know, so that when they wake up, moving is part of their day, just like brushing their teeth.
Right. Right. So because your business is so tied to the personal, the one-to-one, the, you know, this is how, you know, whether it's virtual or in a gym, you know, showing them how to move, showing them how to, you know, the proper form for things and stuff like that. What if, and this is just an idea to think about, but what if you were to flip the sales funnel process? I know that you have a pretty good channel or a pretty good referral program on mm-hmm. how people come and find you. This funnel idea of a sales funnel is really designed to, you know, you have your higher level. These people don't know you from Adam, so let's give them something free, and then maybe, oh yeah, those are percentage, those are going to go down and, you know, buy a book. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the people from there, oh, they're going to buy a workshop. And then from there, they go down and, you know, maybe it's a mastermind class or, you know, finally a one-on-one session with you. Mm-hmm. But that's a way in that sales funnel model, that's a way to attract new clients. Mm-hmm. You don't have that issue right now.
No, thankfully I don't.
No, you don't. And you know, we should all have that problem. So you're finding the clients. That's not the issue. The issue is how do you go about still maintaining that and talking to those people, but having room and time for others, you know, and upscaling the business. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think that, well, one, I do want to say I am incredibly, incredibly lucky that, you know, my clients are satisfied with me. I have, I'm part of a business referral network called BNI, which is how I met Mark. And that's been a very good source of referrals for me as well, because it cuts out a lot of the middleman. You know, when someone that you trust refers you to a professional, a lot of the hard work is over. And so my best clients come from that word of mouth referral. And I tend to get a decent number of them, which is great. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, especially with newer clients who are coming in, I don't have the time in my schedule or even necessarily the bandwidth to stay with everybody for 6 years like I have with, you know, there's a handful of my clients that have really been a core piece of my business, and I love them dearly, but I don't necessarily see them transitioning into a different model. So focusing on those newer people coming in, I think, to answer your question, that the expectation simply needs to be set early. Okay. That we're going to be working together in this one-on-one fashion, whether it's actually in person at my gym space or whether we're working through Zoom, which I'm finding has been incredibly effective, but that the expectation is we will work together a little bit more intensely for this dedicated amount of time. And during that time, we'll be working on those processes to help build the self-accountability and build that momentum so that moving becomes part of your habits, not just strength training or cardio or what have you, because to me, movement is medicine. And so even just getting up and taking 10 minutes to limber up in the morning and just get in touch with your body is a commendable habit.
Yeah.
And so taking those newer people, those newer clients, and setting the expectation of we're going to be working together one-on-one for whatever this duration is. And then after that, here's how we're going to progress, and like setting that as the sort of standard.
So in talking about expectation, and that's an interesting word, what do you find is the biggest challenge when you're talking with a person about their expectations?
That's a really good question. I think that the biggest hurdle would be, it's very easy to talk with someone and agree, like, because when I work with people, I don't create a plan for them. I create a plan with them.
Okay.
Which I think is a big distinction. But that, even when I'm creating a plan with them, and to them it sounds reasonable, it sounds like they're going to be able to do it, it sounds like, life isn't going to get in the way. I think one of the biggest hurdles is that life tends to try to derail us in a way. And so that expectation that, oh, I've agreed to this, it's going to be easy. And then it's not easy to change a habit. It's mm-hmm. not easy to build a habit. I think that's probably the biggest hurdle, is finding that resistance or those obstacles, and then still being able to reframe so that they don't lose hope and don't lose faith that they are capable of doing this themselves.
So in your conversation along those lines, what can you do, say, act differently to help alleviate the fear factor?
Or the should. I should.
The woulda, shoulda, couldas. Yes.
Yeah, that's the killer. Should is such a dirty word to me.
Yeah.
I think it's, honestly, to me, it's about finding the small moments to steal your time back.
Okay.
And that means, if someone's concerned about balance, what are you doing while you're waiting for the food in the microwave or while you're cooking something on the stove? It's finding moments to practice these things if they actually matter to you, but you have to decide if it's going to matter to you. So because if it doesn't ultimately matter, then you're not going to try to find the time in your day.
Mm-hmm.
And that time doesn't have to be extreme. We all need daily movement, but it doesn't have to be an hour and a half at the gym. You don't have to become a gym rat in order to move more to feel better and feel healthier.
Right. So what you're basically talking about, change is difficult. Let's face it. Especially when you're changing a habit that, going from a sedentary lifestyle
mm-hmm.
to one that includes and incorporates movement.
So I think that the first hurdle is that once my clients and I are in the groove of moving together, is that they have to recognize, oh, I really do feel better when I'm moving.
Okay. So how can you help them with that?
I think that that has to come, or does tend to come, in that first phase where okay. I'm working with people closely. And then when I don't know, I might have to think about that a little bit more.
Okay. I can see the smoke burning right now. So. because what your clients are experiencing is true of a lot of people is that they're experiencing a fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you with your empathy and your experience of, you know, overcoming the physical adversity that you have experienced, you have a way of connecting with a client that may not be true of a lot of other personal trainers.
I really meet them where they're at. I refer to this principle as the growth edge.
Okay.
Which is taking a client and learning where that threshold of their comfort zone is, essentially. Because, you know, sometimes you hear the word comfort zone, and when people say you got to step outside your comfort zone, it feels like someone's asking you to leap off of a cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And the way that I think of the growth edge, you know, if we're standing at the Grand Canyon, I'm not asking you to leap off. I'm helping you find a winding, safe path down. Mm-hmm. That moments of it are challenging. You're challenging your expectations of yourself, but all the while you still feel like you're safe and you're in good hands. And so you learn to trust your own body a little bit more.
Okay. And so when we're talking about the sales funnel, it sounds like we're flipping the funnel.
Yeah.
Because you can establish, it's going to be much easier for you to establish. We're making some assumptions here. I apologize. I'm stepping back here a little bit. We're making some assumptions. You're getting clients. You're not really searching for the clients. The clients, you know, you're getting good referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about attracting new people. It's more about establishing the trust and the confidence early on in the relationship.
Yes.
And then from there, you can basically guide them to a program that allows for you to take on more clients. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's really the goal here.
Yes.
You know, they're still working with you. You know, maybe they are working with you at a reduced price level because they're not, it's not the one-on-one.
Because they're at the point where they don't need so much individual attention.
Exactly.
We've built the body confidence and we've built some of these habits and the knowledge. Yeah. So they don't need all of that hands-on attentiveness because I'm very detail-oriented when I work with people.
Right. And so you're going to, so you can establish, and this could be part of your onboarding process when you actually talk to a new client for the first time saying, hey, listen, we're going to get real intense up front. Not that you're intense, but you know what I mean. Never thought of you as intense. But we're going to, you know, we're really going to, you know, I'm going to focus on what you need and what we're going to do and how you can move better and create movement that is customized to you, my client.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you're going to wean them off of that.
Yes. Build and, self-reliance.
And create the self-reliance that they need. So, in all of this, what's the scary part for you?
I think that's where, quite frankly, like my control freak nature actually comes in. Like I said, I get very detail oriented. And so, well, and not just that, but I think I've become so accustomed to being with a human being and helping them solve problems in the moment that, you know, and I really do feel like my superpower is there in the room with somebody, helping them understand their bodies in a new way. And I think the most challenging piece of being a little bit more hands off is that I have to recognize that I can't give all of my superpower in the same way to people and still be a little bit more of a coordinator for their movement as opposed to an accountability buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. And what is it about that is challenging for you?
I think that part of it is I don't want my clients to feel like they failed. And I also think I probably take it a little too personally when they don't do what they're supposed to. You know, I feel like it's a failure on my part. Like I should have been able to supply them with more tools or more techniques or more, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I take a little too much responsibility for their inaction if they choose inaction.
Okay. Because what you're describing is, you know, sort of the same, you know, we've heard that eventually, you know, the birds have got to get kicked out of the nest and they have to fly on their own.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately the analogy that's running through my head. It sounds like you're in that same type of mindset, is that, you know, okay, little birdie, time to fly. You know, at a certain point they need to, everyone, I mean, I'm no different in that, needs to take responsibility for what it is that I want to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if that is being more physically active, if that means being more independent or have better balance or whatever, that's on me. That's my responsibility. And I will, you know, I would come to you and say, hey, help me with this, but you can't do this.
That's actually a really good metaphor. Thank you. Okay.
Kicking the birds out of the nest. We're going to subtitle this episode, Kicking the Birds Out of the Nest.
You're right. I can't clap for them.
No.
You know? But like I was saying with that growth edge, you know, that's like, you know, a little baby bird desperately holding on to the edge of the nest with their claws and flapping frantically, just trying to figure out the mechanics of a flight before they actually take off.
Right.
Like that's that growth edge, that place where you feel a little bit challenged, but you also know that you're safe, and that you can build the skills.
So the question then becomes is, how can you, in your coaching practice, how can you lead your clients to that edge and then help them fly on their own?
I think it's going to involve taking what I'm doing with my remote clients right now and integrating that protocol as a homework protocol earlier on with my clients.
Okay.
Some clients, so that they learn the system. We set up the ways to be accountable while they're still working with me and playing in that growth edge. And then once they have the confidence, that way it's not necessarily a leap off. You're just continuing, you know, to go back to that analogy, you know, someday the little baby bird who's flapping frantically on the edge of the nest will realize that, oh, I can actually release my claws and be airborne for a bit,
mm-hmm.
and then come back down and then all of a sudden they're just continuing what they've been doing and continuing what they've been learning. So I think it's really going to be about pulling that system and integrating it with all of my in-person clients so that it's not a leap.
Okay. Okay. And we got a few more minutes here before the break. And how do you see yourself starting to integrate that into your client base?
Well, I'm trying, that's a good question. Because part of it is also, you know, that's an additional type of work on my end. Not that it's not doable work, but, you know, it's almost like it's a little bit of a different hat when I sit down to create exercise mm-hmm. programming for people versus when I get to show up and be in a room with people. You know, I'm wearing a different part of my entrepreneurial hat. Good yeah. gracious, I can speak English. And so I think integrating it with my current clients, it might be instead of doing it like all at once where I go, everybody's now on this system. Yeah. You have no choice. You know, I think it's going to be having conversations with my current clients that I'll obviously be open to, would you like to do this? No, mm-hmm. not right now. Okay, cool. Because there are going to be some of my clients who will lean into this a little bit more easily or more willingly than others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think starting there to help build not only their confidence, but also my confidence that the system will work
right.
before just kind of globally slapping it across all of my clients as mandatory, because that's also, you know, I'm getting much more efficient at this remote coaching and the homework programming and all that sort of stuff, but it is still a little bit newer for me. So,
right.
And I don't know if you know this, Mark, but when you do something new, sometimes it takes longer than you expect it will.
Really? I've never experienced that in my life, ever.
It's never been a thing where you're like, oh yeah, I can totally knock this out in 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Later, 3 hours.
So it also sounds like, and we may not have enough time to go talking through this, but it also sounds like it's a mindset change for you.
100%. Because,
I'm sorry?
100%, yeah.
Yeah. Because your empathy has really sort of driven how you interact with your clients.
Yes.
And now it's like, you love your clients. You've more than said that, and they love you. Now, how do you give them love, but say, okay, we need to push back just a little bit.
A little more tough love.
A more tough love. Maybe
tough
that's
love, Kirsten.
Yeah.
I mean, my martial arts instructor, Master Daniel Pacina, he talks about, you know, when he went over to train in China, his instructors would literally hit him with a stick if he wasn't doing something correctly. And what do you do when you get hit with a stick? You learn real fast, don't you? You learn real fast not to do that again.
Yeah, and there's an old adage I've always heard, you know, you want to get someone's attention, hit them with a 2x4. So,
not that I'm advocating for any sort of physical.
No, of course not.
No, we'll keep that in the stunt realm. We'll pretend.
Exactly. Exactly. We're going to take a quick break here. Before we go, one more time, Kirsten, how can people get a hold of you?
Best way at this moment is through my email. K.Anderson, S-E-N, .synergy@gmail.com.
All right. So if you have any personal training fitness questions, email Kirsten and she'll be happy to help you out. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to ask Kirsten, what are some of the takeaways she's going to take from today's session? If you have any insights, again, I would welcome your comments on the TransformationTalkRadio.com website or Facebook.com/TransformationTalkRadio. So we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
Do you feel like love is just taking you for a ride? If you struggle to find yourself in a fulfilling romantic relationship, join me, Love Coach Mariah, in my show, Becoming Secure in Love, from push and pull to peace of mind, every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Discover the joy of being loved as your true, authentic self. Visit LoveCoachMariah.com for more. That's LoveCoachMariah.com.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show, Why Wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Okay, welcome back. So, Kirsten, what are you going to walk away with today?
The baby bird analogy.
Okay.
I really, really like it. It's, you know, because like I mentioned earlier, especially when I was attempting more at the beginning of my personal training career to have people do homework, and then I was being met with not only resistance on their end, but also like my emotion. I felt like I was failing if they weren't doing it. And you know, that baby bird, once they take off, there's really nothing that I could do about it. It's on them.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, recognizing that there's kind of phases, you know, getting a new baby bird in the nest, helping them get comfortable and confident with the lingo and the expectations and like the body awareness, then kind of getting them on the edge of the nest where they're starting to flap and really practicing some of these skills and being more and more challenged. And then sending them off into the universe. And I will be there to, you know, support them, but not being as attached to their ability to fly or not, because ultimately it will be, you know, we all have individual self-responsibility.
Well, and I think also the other thing to remember is that, you know, they're going off and flying and, you know, they have their own lives to lead,
mm-hmm.
you know, challenges will come up,
mm-hmm.
and it may very well curtail their ability to, you know, follow a regime of exercise or, you know, regular movement for whatever reason. And, you know, it might not be a fault, you know, it might not be their fault. It's
sure.
just how things happen. So it's not, it's less about, you know, the exercise and more about the mindset and setting the expectation.
Mm. And the, helping my clients and I mean, in general, just people that I come in contact with, you know, we don't move enough in our culture. We're very static. What's the word I'm looking for? Where we sit a lot. Sedentary.
Sedentary. That's the word. Yes.
And just getting over that hump where they realize viscerally, like their body and their mind and their emotions, like it's all kind of woven in together. And mm-hmm. movement helps not just the body. It helps your mental health. It yeah. helps you regulate stress and be on more of an even keel emotionally. And so you're totally right. All these other things come up, and obstacles will always happen because that's how the path of life works. And so having clients who can go through this process with me, where we're working intensely together, I'm integrating that kind of remote coaching or that little more hands-off guidance. I'm integrating that piece of it while we are working together, which I think is going to be my second biggest takeaway.
Okay.
Or maybe it is my biggest takeaway. I don't know, but it's a takeaway.
It's a takeaway.
And then, you know, having them realize that, yeah, it feels good to move.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the end.
And perhaps in your conversations with people in that beginning, you know, more intensive period, you can help your client make that connection mm-hmm. that movement is not just good for the body. It's good for the mind, the soul, you mm-hmm. know, everything, you yeah. know, the more that can, it sounds like the more that connection can be made, the more likely they are to be successful moving forward.
Literally moving forward.
Literally moving forward. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Any other thoughts here?
There's a whole industry that the whole fitness industry just floods us with messages that can seem disparate. Sometimes they are competing. You know, you go to Google and you ask, like, what's the best way to do this? And you'll get five completely different answers, and you don't know which way to turn. And so my wish for people, my hope for people is that, you know, by spending time with your body, whether it's intense exercise or whether it's 10 minutes sitting on the floor stretching with your kids, you know, it doesn't have to be intense. But when you are able to spend time paying attention to your body has signals and things that it's trying to tell you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you can create space to listen to your body, the more you'll find yourself wanting to move, wanting to find ways to interact with other people that involve movement. And that, you know, really movement is life.
Yeah. Cool. I like that. We're gonna stop there.
Okay.
Movement is life. I love that. One more time, you can reach Kirsten at Kirsten dot.
I'm
sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. It's too long of an email address if I got to say it myself. It's too long, yeah. But here it is anyway. K.Andersen, the Danish way, A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N, .synergy@gmail.com.
Yes. If you would like to work with me, either on a one-on-one session or if you'd like to be a guest on my podcast, I would welcome a conversation. You can reach me at markfechner.com. There is a link there for a 30-minute free conversation. Or you can email me at mark@markfechner.com. I am happy to take those as well.
Not to cut you off, I just want to give a hearty recommendation.
Oh.
As Mark has said, we've been working together for a number of months, and his assistance and guidance and his ability to pose the right questions to help me discover what my path is and where I need to go has been instrumental. And so I heartily recommend working with Mark. He's a wonderful human being and an excellent coach.
Oh, gee, thanks. I'm all blushing now.
Oh, look at you blushing.
And the check is in the mail. No. Thank you very much, Kirsten, for being here, for your willingness to be open in a public forum and to discuss some of these things that are challenging you, and hopefully, how you can improve what you're doing in your business. Next time, my guest will be wine specialist Susie Whipple of the Basseret Collection. I'm kind of looking forward to this. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to be talking about yet, but I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. If nothing else, there will be wine. So who can go wrong with that? The Business Mind can be seen and airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. So please feel free to join us, join the conversation. So until next time, be safe, be healthy, be profitable. See you then. Thank you for listening to The Business Mind on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mark Fechner, where we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I hope you find the answers within you. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Sometimes all you need is a change in perception. A certified coach will listen to your challenge, ask you intuitive, open-ended questions, help you find fresh perspectives, and then hold you accountable to reach your goals. Coaching is an investment in yourself that can create paths to greater success. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.